is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to the Locked On Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where you can get a daily dose of great information about your favorite NBA and NFL teams, which now includes the Pacers right here. My name is Tom Lewis of IndyCornrows.com. And today for your daily dose of Pacers info, we're going to hit the latest injury info and roster moves out of the field house after the team is back at practice on Monday. And we'll relay some info we heard from Coach Nate McMillan along with Paul George, Thad Young, and Miles Turner, see what they had to say after practice. And then I want to look at one of my favorite season previews for the Pacers. There's more than a few previews out there at this time of year, and I really like what I read from Andrew Sharp of SI.com. Not necessarily exactly what he said, but how he said it, the context he laid out for the season for the Pacers, I thought was really smart and worth a read if you haven't done so yet. So let's start out the field house today with the latest. The Pacers back at work practicing after missing or just resting on Sunday. Nobody missed practice. They just took the day off. And now we are just 9 days out from the regular season opener. And with the regular season approaching, the team cut the roster from 19 to 17 by releasing Alex Poitras out of Kentucky and the former IU sharpshooter Nick Zeisloft. Both those guys were camp invites with the eye towards joining the Mad Ants up in Fort Wayne. Neither player saw much court time during games. Poitras played about 4 minutes over two games, and Zeisloft just played 1 minute of mop-up duty in one game. So they both did get out on the court and able to fire up a three-pointer for their effort. They literally took their shot at the big time. Neither one of them made it, but and in Zeisloft's case, I think he would have needed to make every shot during practice and in any game action he saw to consider further consideration. But that, you know, is part of the NBA, a great opportunity for those guys to come in, play against NBA talent, and get the coaching and get prepared to continue their, you know, their hoop dream journey, which now will most likely go through Fort Wayne. So best of luck to those guys. I know both of them are, you know, when you have the Kentucky-Indiana rivalry, there's more than enough information about all the players. Both those guys are really well received by their respective fan bases, and it'd be nice to see them have some success up in Fort Wayne and further on and eventually find a way to get paid, whether it's in the NBA or over in Europe or wherever that might take them. But that leaves a roster at 17. Julian Stone is the other player that is expected to go up to Fort Wayne eventually. He remains on the roster. He's been able to carve out some actual game minutes, played over 40 minutes so far, and basically has taken advantage of C.J. Miles being on the shelf. There have been some reserve wing minutes available, and he's looked pretty good. He obviously has impress the team on some levels. So if and when Stone is eventually moved on, that will leave one player remaining that has a guaranteed contract. But I would say at this point, it remains likely that Jeremy Evans will be that player. He's just been hurt, hasn't been able to play that much, and kind of got the sense from day one, from the way Nate McMillan spoke, that he might be the odd man out of that 15-man roster to start the season. On the injury front, as I mentioned, C.J. Miles, again, he didn't practice today. Remains day-to-day with no major concerns with the sore knee, but McMillan also said yesterday that, or on Saturday, that he didn't think Miles would play. C.J. Miles would play on Wednesday in Milwaukee. And as for the game in Milwaukee, Coach Nate did say he isn't planning on resting anybody against the Bucks and wants to play the starters and reserve unit again, kind of like he did in Orlando. Probably won't play them all the way through the heavy minutes that they played in Orlando. So maybe, you know, through the first three quarters. But his point was that getting the rotation players to understand kind of when he expects to put them in the game, take them out of the game, both, you know, the starters and the reserves, kind of getting used to that role and where they'll be playing and with whom they'll be playing is something they're continuing to work on. So he did, again, kind of confirm that he's happy with the 10-man rotation right now, and we'll keep doing that. He likes what he's been seeing from Lavoie playing the four, and really, with Miles out, if he was going to be a guy that was going to play some spot 4 minutes along with Paul George, he's kind of stuck. There's really no one else that you would consider doing that, and, you know, it's debatable if he should consider CJ in that role as well, but it seems like Lavoie will at least get an opportunity to hold that spot down and either force him to make a change or CJ's going to have to get his burn at the wing, which we'll hit on in a minute also. But back to McMillan, he's happy, you know, with the production they've had with camp, thinks everything has gone well. You know, he just really wants to see more time with the starting unit playing together. So they're going to have to be grinding through practice to get that done with only one preseason game remaining. Paul George also spoke after practice, and he kind of focused on CJ, on Glenn Robinson III, and how he's been making his case for minutes and taking advantage of the opportunity with CJ on the shelf. And he thinks that it's going to be a difficult decision for Coach Nate once CJ returns, because obviously one of them will have to acquiesce and give up some minutes that the other will play. And the thing that PG has seen, he was asked about the development of Glenn Robinson's defense. I think, you know, the two things they want to see develop from Robinson is, you know, his defensive ability within their team system, and then also his, you know, aggressive effort on the offensive end, and you know, not giving up shots and playing as if he's a man out there. You know, when you're on that wing, that's a key position in the NBA, and you got to be on attack. So PG mentioned that, you know, he's always been pretty good on the ball defender, and the biggest thing is that he kind of had to learn their defensive system, knowing where to be and make sure he's in the right spots, and that is an area where he's really improved, and he's really enjoyed their head-to-head matchups as they've challenged each other and during practice, and he's really seen him grow in that way. So he also thinks that with the way McMillan has opened up the offense and really given everybody a shot of confidence about being aggressive and making sure when the shot's there, you're taking it, and that has helped Robinson's game as well. So We'll see if how much that carries over to the regular season and if he can continue to make strides when the games count for real. Thad Young also spoke briefly about the starting unit and how, you know, it feels good playing with that group, but that they just need to play a lot more. He mentioned the phrase repetition. It's just all about continuing to work together and doing what they're supposed to do and getting used to each other on the court. He did mention how, you know, playing with Miles Turner is a little different because they're actually almost interchangeable, because he, you know, Turner can step out and hit that perimeter shot like Miles, and they can kind of mix and match when they're in it together, as opposed to playing with, you know, Al Jefferson or Lavoie, where, you know, they're just going to be that more of that true post player. So he's working on, you know, getting comfortable with those two different kind of types of styles. But, of course, positive. Everything's great. They're going to be fine. It's a preseason. And Miles Turner, speaking of, the second-year big man, asked about how he's doing, how he's being used. And, you know, he mentioned that, you know, there's no real plays in the offense that go through him. With the free-flowing offense, they are actually running a lot of plays, and that he's basically free whenever he is open on the block or the perimeter to go to work. And if he's open, he's going to shoot it. And he has plenty of confidence in his game and, again, ready to get going for the big time. So we're 9 days out. Things are dialing up. They're focusing in on the little things. I know the Saturday practice was working on the half-court efficiency on offensive end and all that timing, and with all the new faces. That's the biggest thing that the Pacers have to deal with. And when you look at the early schedule, it's a little scary because there's a lot of good teams on it in the first 5 weeks of the season. But, you know, Jeff Teague made a good comment about this, which I think I've mentioned before, but there are several teams, many of whom are expected to be good teams, that are dealing with the same thing. Look up the road in Chicago. They have a bunch of new faces, and all these teams are trying to get used to each other and figure out how to play. So it won't just be the Pacers, and, you know, it's going to be hard to use that getting familiar with each other as a excuse for very long. So speaking of the Bulls, they and the Bucks had a little interdivision trade with Michael Carter-Williams going to the Bulls for Tony Snell. So MCW keeps moving around the league. He's this, you know, dynamic backcourt player who can't shoot threes and can't seem to find the right fit in his career, but he's going to be in a good spot there with Chicago, with some vets around him that he can actually support, as opposed to being on a young team where he's trying to play a big role. So that might help level out his game and get him doing things that help a team win, as opposed to trying to be a little bit of everything as a backcourt guy, as a young player. So Snell, I was never real impressed with him again. He was on some good rosters up there in Chicago as a reserve guy. So he may end up getting more opportunity in Milwaukee, and seems like more of a true shooting guard. So we'll see. I like the my man Frank Madden of the Locked On Bucks podcast and BrewHoop.com mentioned he just hopes that Snell is a starter, so with Matthew Dellavedova, they can refer to the backcourt as Snellavedova. So, easy for you to say. But anyways, let me take a break, speaking of Locked On Bucks, to thank everyone at the Locked On Podcast Network for their support of as the pod continues to grow every day. Now on episode 13. Plenty of other great shows, keeping tabs on other teams, a lot of good information around the NBA and NFL. And the Locked On NBA podcast is fantastic. Has currently has up some both conference previews with information on each team. So check them out. And speaking of previews, tis the season for previews. There's a ton of them out there. Wide array of sources, of course. I saw one that caught my eye. I wanted to mention. But first, I saw a little blurb from David Aldridge on NBA.com, who has his big, humongous morning tip column and keeps track of the top 15 teams throughout the season. And his initial list has the Pacers at number 6. Not in the conference, in the league, saying, you know, he's pretty bullish on the Pacers. And if he has them 6 overall, I'd have to say he is indeed bullish on the Pacers. And I hope he might know something that we don't. But that would be fantastic. If you're counting up conference teams, he had Cleveland at 1, Toronto at 4. So third in the East. Kind of hoping that the Pacers can get up to that point as it is. I don't know that they're necessarily that would make them 6th best team, but hopefully it will. So, but back to the preview I enjoyed was Andrew Sharp's look at the Pacers on SI.com. So check that out. I linked it on a story on Indy Cornrows today. He lays out a bunch of questions for the coming season, you know, and that's one thing I love about previewing is that, you know, you can go through numbers and try and project things and take a guess, but it's all guesswork. Really, what you're doing when you're looking at a team is saying, you know, what answers are we looking for from this team, and what are the key questions that are going to that we have that need answers. So he did that and came up with several questions regarding all the changes that the Pacers made, along with some of the holdovers with players and how they might play, and put it all within the context of the fact that the Pacers are really trying to hang on to Paul George for the long term, and their success this season will go a long way into their ability to do that. That also raises the topic of how odd I thought it was at the beginning of training camp to see a bunch of stories about Larry Bird commenting on a potential contract extension for PG before this season, just because, you know, the rules of the CBA would make Paul George signing a contract before this season foolish, because and there's more details in this article. You can check it out, but once you've played in the league for 7 years, you go up to another level of salary and max salary. And Paul George has only played 6 seasons. So after this season, he'll be at that 7-year mark. And an extension would make sense. And also, it would give the Pacers a chance to give him the most money while hanging on to him for several more years. But if things go sideways this season, in a variety of possible ways, whether with players or coaches or what have you, then, you know, that extension might not be there. And the Pacers still have PG under contract for another year before he has an option. But if they're getting the sense that he's not going to hang around, then, as Sharp points out, they may want to trade him after this year and sell at peak value and try to once again rebuild on the fly. But and I think, you know, after the Kevin Durant summer, where you think a guy's going to stick around with his team, and then he goes to the best team in the league, it's easy to look from the outside looking in and think, yeah, well, naturally Paul George is probably going to want to go somewhere else, maybe a bigger market, another team that needs you know, one more superstar that's already ready to go. But in reality, this is really the first year Paul George has been both the best player and the leader of the team. And so we talked about Kevin Durant, but PG ain't Kevin Durant. And until we see how this season really plays out for both sides, you know, PG has a lot on his shoulders as well. He's got to produce, got to lead, got to see how he can take this team up a level. And, you know, until all that plays out, you know, speculating about a lot of that contract extension, you know, really is about as smart as it would have been for PG to sign this extension this summer. So check out Sharp's piece on SA.com again. He hits on, you know, some of the financial details and, you know, talking about the salary cap and all that stuff is not the funnest way for me to analyze basketball and follow basketball. So I know some people like to do that stuff, but I actually enjoy the actual basketball. So look forward to games starting up soon where we can focus on game action as opposed to those salary cap numbers. So thanks for listening to the show today as we update you on the latest roster moves and injury info. Heard from, relayed some comments from Nate McMillan and a few of the players just 9 days until the regular season opener. So feel free to share your thoughts on the, you know, the roster, rotation, even the dreaded salary cap, if you want. Always like to hear smart guys explain numbers and what they might do if they were in charge. So you can hit me up via email at IndyCornrows@gmail.com or on Twitter at IndyCornrows. Also, real excited about the continuing growth of the podcast. Please spread the word. Let other fans know about the show. Appreciate that as we continue to build up. We'd love to have listeners involved. So if your company wants to reach out to men age 18 to 44 and sponsor the podcast, love to hear from you. Our rates are reasonable. So email me at indycornrows@gmail.com and we can discuss it. So thanks again for listening to the podcast, which you can find on audioboom.com. Also on iTunes, you can subscribe and hear all the prior episodes via both outlets. So check them out. And that's a wrap for the day. You've been listening to Locked On Pacers on the Locked On Podcast Network. You got it. Don't you, baby, don't you, baby.